Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim saraswatim vyasam.
Devim saraswatim vyasam.
Tatodayam udiraye.
Tatodayam udiraye.
Nasta prayeshu apadreshu.
Nasta prayeshu apadreshu.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Bhagavati uttama shloke.
Bhagavati uttama shloke.
Bhaktir bhavati naishtaki.
Bhaktir bhavati naishtaki.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam,
Which
is our very means of conquest.
Which is our very means of conquest.
One should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan.
Unto the personality of Godhead Narayan.
Unto Naranarayan Rishi.
Unto Naranarayan.
The supermost human being.
The supermost human
unto
being.
Mother Saraswati.
Unto Mother Saraswati.
The goddess of learning.
The goddess of learning.
And unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author.
And Srila
Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam.
By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam.
And by rendering service unto the pure devotees.
And by rendering service unto the pure devotees.
All that is troublesome to the heart.
All that is troublesome to the heart.
Is almost completely destroyed.
Is almost completely
and
destroyed.
Loving service.
And loving service.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Who is praised with transcendental songs.
Who is praised with transcendental songs.
Is established as an irrevocable fact.
Is established an irrevocable fact.
Okay, so on text 42 of the fifth chapter of the 11th canto. Svapada mulam bhajata priyasya svada mulam bhajata priyasya svapada mulam bhajata priyasya tvaktyanya bhavasya hari paresha tvak Tanya Bhavasya Hari Paresha
Tanya Bhavasya Hari Paresha
Vikarma Yachcho Patitam Katanchid
Vikarma Yachcho Patitam Katanchid
Vikarma Yachcho Patitam Katanchid
Vikarma Yachcho Patitam Katanchid
Dunoti Sarvam Hridishani Vishta
Dunoti Sarvam Hridishani Vishta
Svapada mulam bhajata priyasya.
Svapada mulam bhajata priyasya.
Tvaktanya bhavasya hari paresha.
Tvaktanya bhavasya hari paresha.
Vikarma yachcho patitam katanchit.
Vikarma yachcho patitam katanchit.
Dunoti sarvam hridishani vishta.
Dunoti sarvam hridishani vishta.
Please chant.
Svapada mulam bhajata priyasya.
Tvaktanya bhavasya hari paresha.
Tvaktanya bhavasya hari paresha.
Vikarma yachcho patitam katanchit.
Vikarma yachcho patitam katanchit.
Dunoti sarvam hridishani vishta.
Dunoti sarvam hridishani vishta. Svapada mulam bhajata priyasya. Patanya bhavasya hari paresha. Vikarma yachcho patitam katanchit. Dunoti sarvam hridishani vishta. Swapadamulam Pajata Priyasya. Tanya Pavasya Vipresha. Vikarma Yachcho Patitam Katanchit. Dunoti Sarvam Ridishani Vishta. Svapadamulam Bhajata Priyasya. Patrabhavasya Hari Kuresha.
Vikarmaya Chodpatitam Katanchit.
Dunoti sarvam hridishani vishta svapadamulam. The lotus feet of Krishna. The shelter of the devotees. Bhajata, who is engaged in worshipping. Priyasya, who is very dear to Krishna. Trakta, given up. Anya, for others. Bhavasya, of one whose disposition or inclination. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paraisha, the Supreme Lord. Vikarma, sinful activities. Yat, whatever. Cha, and. Upaititam, occurred. Katanchit, somehow. Dunoti, removes. Sarvam, all. Priti, in the heart. Sannivishta, entered. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. One who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction of such sin. Please repeat. Thoughtfully repeat it, because it's very encouraging and enlivening verse. One who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction of such sins. Carlos, how does that make you feel when you hear that? Can you get the mic?
Yes.
Yes, that makes me feel very relieved to be a devotee of Krishna.
Krishna's very kind,
yes,
isn't he? Yeah.
He is.
Someone else, what's some of just your reaction to that? Because there's all different kinds of reactions. Amy G. Lucky, feel lucky. It's true, we're very lucky. Someone else, how about you now that you have the mic?
Gratitude.
Gratitude.
Gratitude, yeah.
An attitude of gratitude,
yeah,
is all will always help one get through. Arjuna.
I was thinking of two Bhagavad Gita shlokas.
Okay.
Ridhisanivishta, there is a one verse with Ridhisanivishta, another was Chapiche Sudura Charo Bhaste Mamanande Bhag.
It's going to be mentioned in the verse. Go ahead, but it's okay. But can you tell us what it means? Because not all of us have it all totally memorized.
That even one who is devoted to Krishna, I'm paraphrasing, if he performs some sinful activity by accident, then he is still not to be considered a sinful person. He has to be considered Mahatma, because he's a saintly person, because he's properly situated in his determination to serve Krishna.
Yeah, good. Did anybody have any reservations when they heard that? Did anyone think... Taste. Rasa Raj. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, whenever I hear like accidental sin, it always kind of like there's a little confusion when I hear that term, because it's like, does that mean that they didn't realize that it was a sin, or that just somehow it just kind of happened, or mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever I hear the word accidentally, it's a little
unclear. It's a good reservation, and they're going to speak about it in the purport a little bit also. Sometimes too, for myself, sometimes I think, oh yeah, but it says fully surrendered devotee. Oh, does that mean me? It doesn't really mean me. You know, the mind just always tries to trick you in so many ways and discourage you. But we're not going to talk about discouraging things right in the beginning. We're going to talk about encouraging things. So let's read the purport. Rasaraj, could you start the purport? It's kind of it's not extremely long. It's only like 2 pages, which is like really short for the 11th canto. Most of the verses in the 11th canto have 4-page purports. Yeah, he was. He wanted to, yeah. Anyway, so this is just 2 pages. So you can read a paragraph or something part of it.
In the previous verse...
I'll read the previous verse, because the previous verse is very a very famous verse. Devarshi Bhutapta Rinim Pritin Nam. Anyway, it says, so this is Narada Muni speaking, and he says, O king, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelters to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. In other words, you just need to worship the Lord and all of that's taken care of. Then today's verse, one who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reactions of such sins.
In the previous verse, it was clearly described that a fully surrendered devotee of the Supreme Lord has no need to perform ordinary worldly duties. Now, in this verse, it is revealed that devotional service is so pure and potent that a surrendered devotee of the Lord has no need to perform any other purificatory process. As described in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a surrendered devotee has no need to perform prayaschit, or atonement, for an accidental fall down into sinful activity. Since devotional service is itself the most purifying process, a sincere devotee who has accidentally stumbled on the path should immediately resume his pure devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord. And thus the Lord will protect him, as stated in Bhagavad Gita.
Apiche sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadur eva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisa. Want to pass it on?
Sure. The word tyanya bhavasya in this verse is very significant. As stated in the previous verse, a pure devotee realizes clearly that all living entities, including Brahma and Shiva, are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus have no separate or independent existence. Realizing that everything and everyone is part and parcel of the Lord, a devotee automatically is not inclined to commit sinful activities by violating the order of God. However, due to the powerful influence of material nature, even a sincere devotee may be temporarily overwhelmed by illusion and deviate from the rigid path of pure devotional service. In such a case, Lord Krishna himself, acting within the heart, removes such sinful activities. Even Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, has no power to punish a surrendered devotee who has accidentally committed sinful activities. As stated here, Krishna is Parisha, are the Supreme Lord, and all secondary lords such as the demigods cannot threaten the Lord's personal devotees. In his youth, Ajamil had been a pious Brahmana engaged in the service of the Lord. Then, by bad association with a prostitute, he became practically the most degraded man in the world.
Ladini, you want to continue? Thank you.
At the end of his life, Yamaraj sent...
Click it on. I don't think it's on. Okay, sorry.
At the end of his life, Yamaraj sent his Yamadutas to drag away the soul of the sinful Ajamil. But the personality of Godhead immediately sent his personal associates to save Ajamil and demonstrate to Yamaraj that no secondary personality can disturb the personal devotees of the supreme personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Kanteya Prajitani,
Name Bhaktya Pranasyati.
The argument may be raised that the Smriti Sastra states, Smriti Smriti Mamai Vajne. The Vedic scriptures are the direct orders of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, one may ask how the Lord tolerate that his orders be occasionally neglected even by his devotees. To answer this possible objection, the word Priyasya is used in this verse. The devotees of the Lord are very dear to the Lord. Although the beloved child may accidentally commit an abominable activity, the loving father forgives the child, taking into consideration the actual good intentions of the child. Thus, although the devotee of the Lord does not try to exploit the Lord's mercy by requesting the Lord to free him from any future suffering, the Lord, by his own initiative, frees the devotee from the reactions to accidental fall downs.
Alex, you want to continue?
This causeless mercy of the Lord upon his devotees, his paramamishvaram, or supreme opulence. Gradually, the faithful devotee becomes free, even from accidental fall down, because simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, what to speak of by actively rendering service to him, his heart is purified. Although the surrendered devotees of the personality of Godhead may sometimes appear to be affected by mundane attitudes, they are inevitably protected by the merciful Lord and are never actually defeated in life.
Jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshu Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So it's a very nice, encouraging verse we have here, and such information, it just makes the heart jubilant, you know, to understand a little bit. We get a little teeny glimpse on the special position of one who even makes an attempt to surrender unto the Lord. Because it's explained in this verse and purport that Priyasya, the devotees are very dear to the Lord. So the mind might think, oh yeah, but everyone else is so much more sincere and they've done this and that. Don't let your mind trick you. Anyone, even earlier, way earlier in the first canto in the Bhagavatam, might be first or second canto, but it's right there in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. It explains that even one who's performed devotional service even for a few days, cannot forget the taste that they've experienced by performing devotional service, and they can never forget it through their whole life. That taste remains with them, and even if they're making progress on the path of material advancement, and one could say, you know, doing everything, pursuing their career, making advancement and progress in pursuing their career, getting a good job, this and that, taking on responsibilities, this and that, and let's just say they give it all up for just a few, and come to devotional service, and now they're going to change the whole path of their life and surrender and this and that, and they only do it for a few days. They've gained so much by that experience. Whereas compared to someone who's kept on in the path of devotional, quote-unquote, material progress, quote-unquote, material progress, and kept on doing their duties and kept on with their studies and got their degree and got the good job and got the good family and got everything and everything and did everything, quote-unquote, perfectly, they haven't made any progress because they kept because they haven't even got a clue that there's a difference between the body and the soul, that there's no happiness here in the material world. Just to come to this understanding that there's no happiness in the material world, that's such a great conclusion. At first it seems like, oh, that's like really depressing, you know. Well, you guys are just always negative, negative, they can't be happy, blah, blah, negative. But actually it's so liberating, it's so freeing from the burden of material activities. They're just burdensome. There's nothing more to them than a burden, a big burden of endeavor with no result, no satisfactory result. You know, so someone, again, back to the example, someone who's come even for a few days, even just taken one Krishna lunch or whatever, and experienced the taste of the prasadam, heard the Harinam, what to speak of, come and tried to make it in Krishna house for a few days or whatever, a few months or some time. The whole course of their eternal life is completely redirected. And they're very dear to Krishna, even for that small attempt. What to speak of those who are able to make a more determined endeavor and a more lasting endeavor and make, you know, progress in devotional service. They become very dear to Krishna, and he never forgets them. Never, never, never forgets them. And there's so many examples in the Bhagavatam. I'm afraid if I give the examples, I'll get distracted, but I think I'm going to give a couple, and then you'll have to bring me back to this point, okay? So one name for Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana. Bhava Grahi Janardana. It's there, it's mentioned throughout the Bhagavatam, but I particularly remember it being mentioned in the eighth canto when it talks about Bali Maharaj? Yeah, Bali Maharaj. When Vamanadev, the little dwarf incarnation of the Lord, comes before Bali Maharaj, who's the king. He's conquered not only the earth planet, not only everything on earth, but he conquered the lower regions and the higher regions. Now he was occupying the heavenly planet of Indra. He had conquered all three worlds. He was performing a sacrifice, and Vamanadev came in. He was so attractive. He was just so beautiful. When Bali saw Vamana, he thought immediately, his heart kind of ran, his heart, his consciousness ran to the Lord, and he thought, I just want to surrender everything to him. He didn't know anything about him just yet. But he immediately wanted to surrender everything. So Krishna, because it was mentioned in this verse, and it was mentioned in the scriptures, he's in the heart of every living entity. He knows the heart. He knows the intention in every living entity's heart. And therefore, he reciprocated with that intention of Bali Maharaj. And even though, as the time went on, the sacrifice went on, and Vamanadev asked for only three paces of land, Bali Maharaj was willing to give it. But his spiritual master said, no, 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 don't do it. He's Vishnu. He's come to take everything away from you. Bali was able to give up his attachment and his association with his guru right on the spot for that. So that's very strong. Sometimes we say these stories and we go from one sentence to the next, and we think, you know, it all is just like flows along with no emotions in between. But there was such a great... You know, Bali had such an attachment to his attachment, whatever, respect for his guru, because his guru Sukracharya had guided him to be in the position where he was. He had gained everything, quote unquote, material by worshiping his guru, and here is guru now. That same guru who had given him all that advice that he had followed all along was telling him not to do this, and he was determined. He was sure. He was attracted to the Lord. He was immediately able to give up all of that because of his desire to serve the Lord or be attracted to the Lord. Because of his attraction, it was like a spontaneous attraction. So in relating that story, it's interesting to understand that Bali Maharaj Because he was born in the family of devotees. He was, although he was born in a demoniac situation, he was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And he had that connection with Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, because Prahlad was so dear to Krishna, Bali was dear to Krishna too. So that's just one little instance. And then there's another time when Nrisingadev, after Nrisingadev had killed Hiranyakashipu, he was happy to sit on his throne, Hiranyakashipu's throne. He was happy to sit on it. Why? Because he didn't see Hiranyakashipu as that demon who was trying to kill Prahlad. He saw him as his servant, Jai or Vijay, who, due to their misbehavior with the four Kumaras, had been cursed to take this demoniac form. So he didn't see him as... He remembered. In other words, he remembered the devotional service that Jai and Vijay had rendered to him and how dear Jai and Vijay were to him. So that even now, in this demoniac body and with all those demoniac activities, he could see through that and remember that. And then Putana, similar with Putana. Putana, and she's also in the family of Prahlad. No, Bali comes in the family of Bali, but I'll skip that story right now. But still, so Putana, when Putana came towards Krishna, her plan was, I'm going to kill this kid. And she had killed thousands, like I've heard say 10,000 other children before attempting to kill Krishna. She had killed thousands. That was her thing, if you remember that song. I don't know if you are familiar with that children song. Putana, Putana is my name. Killing small children is my game. Sorry. But anyway, she had killed so many children before Krishna. That was her plan. So she had a plan. You know, I'll come as a beautiful woman. I'll have poison on my breast. I'll give him my breast to suck, and that'll be the end of him. But Krishna, when he closed his eyes and sucked on her little breast, he thought, oh, she's just like a mother. She's coming like a mother. So he didn't see all the volumes, mountains of sinful reactions, gory sinful reactions, not just, you know, minor little detail things, but gory sinful reactions that she had. He said, he saw that she's coming like a mother, and therefore, do you know what happened to Putana after Krishna killed her? Not you. Someone else, please. She was elevated to the position of a mother in the spiritual world, like a mother, a datri, like a nurse. So how is that? That is because Priyasya, the devotees, are very dear to the Lord. And so someone might think, someone who has a mind that's unfortunate, If there's in the audience an unfortunate person who somewhat has a mind that's somewhat like mine, they might think, oh yeah, but those are the great devotees. You know, they did great things and Krishna, you know, they had Krishna. That doesn't mean me. That doesn't mean little old me. But it does. It means you and I and so many other aspiring devotees on the path, Krishna's very, very kind to his devotees, and he appreciates whatever little thing that they do. So there was mentioned in the purport somewhere about the intention. Intention is so important. What's our intention in doing our activities? So try to cultivate a conscious intention as you do your devotional service, a conscious intention to please Krishna. So in our stage of contaminated consciousness that is in the shower of devotional service, attempting to become purified by the the process of devotional service. In this stage, our consciousness is not so expanded, so purified, so astute. But even whatever little realization we have, whatever little understanding we have of Krishna consciousness, if we cultivate the intention to please Krishna in all of our activities, just take your activities of what? Chanting your rounds every day. We can do it, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, because you have to, because you have to do that, because if you don't do that, you can't live here, and blah, 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 blah. Life becomes more complicated and so many things. You can do it, and, you know, it looks really good, you know, and you got your tilak on. But if we can do it with an intention to please Krishna, the whole thing changes. You change gears in devotional service. You change gears. Try to get out of the mechanical rut. You know, when you first come into Krishna house or when you first come to devotional service, there's so many things to learn. Eat with your right hand. Don't do this. Don't touch the book. Don't put the japa beads on the floor. So many things. Don't touch your feet. Oh, my God. Don't use that cloth. Don't use this cloth. What to speak of, you know, so many other things, like all these prayers and Sanskrit and sadidata, all these things. And prasadam is flowers, but prasadam you eat. And it's, I remember getting confused by that one for a really long time. Okay, so many things to learn, and so as you become familiar with the routine of devotional service, there's the tendency to become mechanical. You know, you have to take a shower, you know, your tilak, you know, your clean clothes, so many things you learn, and you can do it mechanically. Try to, my only, Srila Prabhupada and his devotees are explaining, try to do it with the intention to please Krishna, and it comes to a whole nother level very quickly. Excuse me. Because as was mentioned in this verse, as one of the verse was saying, if someone accidentally commits a sinful activity, they're very, that Krishna takes the reaction or purifies them of the reaction. So, and then in the purport, there was the argument given that, well, how can one even, if one's a devotee of the Lord, how can one even do something that's not approved by the Lord? How can the Lord tolerate his orders being neglected? But if the intention, for example, and this has to do a little bit with accidental, if the intention is, if someone's doing something with a premeditated motivation, making an arrangement, I'm going to slip out the back door and I'm going to go around the corner and then I'm going to smoke my cigarettes or whatever it is, you know, then that's one type of activity. But if one, this is an example that Prabhupada gave in an early lecture, or maybe it was just a conversation. He was talking about Brahmananda Prabhu. And it was like in the 60s, 69, 70, no, 69, 68, 69. He said, if Brahmananda goes on the street and happens to meet his friends, and they're all talking, and they're smoking cigarette, and they pass the cigarette to him, and Brahmananda smokes the cigarette, that's what we call an accidental fall down, because it's not a premeditated thing. I'll actually remember the rest of the conversation of like what he was saying, but the point he was making is it's not a premeditated thing. So if there's an accidental, here in the purport it said stumbling on the path of devotional service, then Krishna rectifies that reaction, that purifies the devotee within his heart, and very quickly he's situated again. And also, in those series of verses from Bhagavad Gita, from the 9th chapter, the 30th verse, Apichet Sudaracharo, in that series of verses, if you have the time, take a look at a few verses before and a few verses after, and read the verses all together. It gives a whole series of an understanding of how the devotee, being rightly situated, is very quickly purified. So how is he purified? Lord Chaitanya explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives a little conversation a little of Krishna. So he's talking about, Lord Chaitanya is talking about the devotee who prays to the Lord for relief of material miseries or relief from material distress, or he's praying to the Lord for some particular material gain or whatever. And the Lord thinks, well, if I'm so intelligent, if I'm really so intelligent, why should I give this devotee something that he's only going to ask me for something else if I give it to him? Just say someone prays, just let me win the lottery. Oh Lord, let me win the lottery. So if he win the lottery, what's the result of that? Oftentimes, one wants some more money. It's never satisfied. I happen to have personal experience with that. You'll be surprised to know that my sister won the lottery way back when the lottery was only $1.2 million. But anyway, so it was, 20 so years ago, she won the lottery, and she was like very poor. She was living in New Hampshire in a mobile home. And, here we're kind of used to mobile homes, but up in, north of the Mason-Dixie line, when it's cold, 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 not many people choose to live in mobile homes. So she was, she was poor, and so they won the lottery. And she kept playing the lottery because she needed to get some more money so that she would have enough money to give some to other people. She did pretty good compared to a lot of people who win the lottery. She didn't like whatever. But anyway, still, it's never enough. You just want more. So you get $1 million. You have nothing. You had no money in the bank. They like to tell the story how when they found out the numbers on the lottery, they found out that he didn't even have any money in his pocket to call his wife, to call my sister and tell her we won the money, we won it. So he had to borrow a dime. That was when they still had phone, public phones too. I mean, pay phones. Anyway, so you have nothing. You win $1 million, and you think, if I had another million, I'd have enough to share. Whatever, I'm just saying. So anyway, Krishna, back to Krishna in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he thinks, if I give this fool, if I'm so intelligent, why should I give this fool something that he's just going to come back and ask for something more? Because he's never satisfied. You're never satisfied. That's the nature of the material world. Burns like fire, and it's never satisfying. So he said, let me do something that will take those desires away. And therefore, that person will totally forget about his material desires. So similarly, in devotional service, one may be making an attempt for purification, attempt for making progress in devotional life, and we have so many mixed desires. And so let's say, follow along with the theme of today's verse and purport, so there's some fall down, there's some stumbling block, there's some non-devotional activities or vikarma, activities which incur reaction, and therefore it's not exactly that you don't get any reaction from it, like that you could do X, Y, Z and not get any reaction because Krishna's here, he's guaranteed to burn up the sinful reaction. But what you're getting is what's called Krishna karma. You're getting Krishna's, he's taking our stock of sinful activities from previous activities, and perhaps if there's something else that we're doing, he's taking that and he's giving us what? A custom reaction, custom model, And he's taking what we deserved and he's customizing it in a special way for our advancement. So therefore, we were mentioning how this verse, some of the devotees were mentioning how this verse makes them feel an attitude of gratitude. So therefore, when the good things happen to us in devotional service, we should have this attitude of gratitude also and feel that, Krishna, you're so kind. I don't deserve this, but you're giving it to me anyway to encourage me. But then when, you fall down the stairs, you flunk your test, you break up with your, you know, you can fill in the blank in any way, you know, somebody's really, not that it would happen here, no, somebody could be really heavy to you and mean and unfair, and that would, so I'll try to imagine what that means. And still we think, one should think, in the same attitude of gratitude, my Lord, you're just so kind that you're giving me this. You're giving me this. I know I don't deserve this. No. I know I don't deserve this because I know I deserve worse. And you're so kind. You're just giving me this little bit to help me. What? To wake me up. I happen to have personal experience of that also. That Krishna is so kind in giving me a nice, juicy disease just to wake me up and think, you know, don't waste your time. You don't know how much longer you have. Don't waste your time. And utilize your time as best as you can. And what happens, happens. You know? So that's, you know, after you get over all the mental part, then there's an attitude of gratitude that starts to grow in the heart. Oh, Krishna, you're so kind. And he is kind, and he will take care of you and me and all the rest of them, and even those people you don't like, if there's any of them here. Oh, sorry. No, they're all in a latch. No, sorry. And he'll take care of all of them, and he'll purify all of us, and gradually, we'll make, you know, tangible progress. Okay, so what are your reactions to that? Oh, yes, probably.
Oh, thank you very much. I was just appreciating your point about Krishna karma. You know, medicine is evolving these days, so that it used to be one drug in various doses for all people, but now they're evaluating the DNA, they're evaluating even the microbial makeup of one's body, to see what customized medication will specifically work for this person. So Krishna's way ahead of the curve. That was my point.
Thanks for that. Any other comments or questions? Valentina, can we... Alex, can you pass the mic down, sheet?
You were trying to explain premeditation, and actually we have an example of that in our material lives. Like in the court system, if you actually commit a crime that was premeditated, you get a greater sentence mm-hmm. and a heavier punishment as opposed to someone that is maybe did mm-hmm. it just as heat of anger or something like that. So I thought that would be helpful to understand mm-hmm. because it is something that mm-hmm. kind of... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good point. Some other thoughts and reactions. Panditji. Oh, sorry, Damodar. Came to mind first.
Thank you very much for your wonderful class and enlivening realizations. I was just wondering, what's the difference? How can we tell if something doesn't work out because Krishna is intervening, or on the other hand, we're just screwing up?
Good question. Not easy to tell all the time. It's not a pat formula. Oh, if it's this, that means I should endeavor more. But what comes to mind is Srila Prabhupada's determination, or Srila Prabhupada's endeavor. Just like take the example of the Juhu Beach property acquisition, right? So there's a really complicated story that had I personally been the one endeavoring in the beginning, I would have given up way long ago. But Prabhupada just kept endeavoring. So, how can you tell? What comes to mind is, I'm going to ask you to comment, so get ready. what comes to mind is detachment. We're making our endeavor to please the Lord, whether it's a preaching endeavor, whether it's a simpler endeavor, whatever. And we're doing it to please Krishna. We're doing it to spread his glories. And he's the cause of the result. So we have to have both things have to be there. We have to make our endeavor. We have to be detached from the result. And even in the symptoms of the six symptoms of surrender, there, one of the symptoms is that a devotee, even if he's fully competent to do such and such, even if he's fully competent, just like Srila Rupa Goswami, when he started off Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's saying, you know, he's offering his respects to Radha and Krishna and to his spiritual master and this and that. And then he says that I'm just trying to preach Krishna consciousness and I hope that the Lord will be pleased. And Prabhupada says there that that should be the attitude of every preacher, everyone in the Krishna consciousness movement, that they make their endeavor, and even if they are competent, like Srila, up to the level of Srila Rupa Goswami, they're not thinking that it's by my endeavor that it's happening, but it's by Krishna's mercy these things are happening, the results are there. So, now I'm going to pass the mic over, now you get a real answer.
Just one thing I would add to that is that, is one of my godbrothers puts it, the only absolute reality we know are our emotions, what we're really feeling. You know, so in, and maybe you've experienced this too, Nanda, when you're really enjoying your service, that's a good sign that you're doing the thing that Krishna wants you to do. If it's nothing but a bunch of hassles and you're not enjoying it and you wish you were doing something else, that's probably a good sign that Krishna has some other service that he would like you to do, and that's one way he is telling you. So, what is that? Over-endeavoring for something that is very difficult to obtain. So we get attached, like you were saying, to some particular result, and then we're struggling, and then we wonder why are we struggling, you know, because we're not really tuned into what Krishna wants.
And oftentimes those things are easy to see in retrospect. They're easier to see in retrospect. For example, one's endeavoring for a particular, a particular program, success in a particular program, and this is there's an obstacle here, there's an obstacle here, there's this, that, so many things, and because of that frustration, one might turn in a different direction, and in that different direction, one might get more success. So then, from that position, one looks back and says, "Oh, if I hadn't had those obstacles, then I wouldn't have made this choice, and therefore I wouldn't have got to this point where I'm getting this result." Often by retrospect, it's easier. But so we have to be thoughtfully looking ahead and also thoughtfully looking behind, where we're coming, where we want to go. Any other comments for you?
Just kind of a question or comment on that. You know, isn't this when we emphasize for our devotional service, this is why we need guru. This is why we need spiritual master. You know, someone that we're surrendered to, and then they direct us. You know, Prabhupada said, I read yesterday in a book by Dhanavira Goswami that someone was asking Prabhupada, how do I know? You know, should I follow my intuition? And Prabhupada said, your intuition is wrong. It's conditioned. The intuition of a thief is to steal. So you have to inquire submissively to the spiritual master.
Yeah. And to add to that, also too, is association. We need close association. We have the tendency to isolate ourselves, thinking, you know, I don't need this or that or whatever. Or we have superficial friendships with devotees, but we need close friendships with devotees. Somebody who you can reveal your mind to, who you can inquire in the guru also, but not all the time. not everybody has the opportunity to be with their guru all the time. So in the interim, not to negate that, but in the interim, we also need strong friendships with the devotees. So that also needs to be stressed, because also sometimes in the beginning stages of devotional service, when we hear all the different rules and regulations and this and that and scriptural injunctions about this and that, sometimes we have a tendency to become a little bit impersonal, a little bit harsh in our, but we need that friendship and loving exchanges with devotees. That's my two cents on that. Really had nothing to do with the question. I just put it in there. Yes.
Also, I had a comment. I think it's relevant. You know, recently I've become really aware of my offenses. You know, any offenses in my sangha, in my and my sadhana. And I find that when I'm aware, I beg for forgiveness to the Vaishnavas and previous acharyas and Krishna. And then I also endeavor more to perfect whatever service I'm doing. You know, like, how can I? It's not just like, I made a mistake, and then, you know, I just go back to being at that same level, but trying to endeavor more and more, and then I feel some reciprocation. Like, not only am I saying I'm sorry, I'm showing it by trying to perfect my service more. Yeah. And that could be so many different ways.
Yeah, good point. Thank you very much for sharing that. That's good advice. Thanks. Yippee, it's our favorite time. Thank you for your attention and all your bright faces. Hare Krishna.